The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the Premier Show, SmackDown, and run your mouth about how you're the WWE Champion and run your mouth about how you're the game. Well, The Rock says, if you are the game, then quite frankly, you need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks! The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says.
In 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to SmackDown Matters. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm here with my co-host, Miss Jade to the Max. How are you, Miss Jade?
Howdy there, folks. Hello, Don.
Glad that you're back, safe and sound from your world travels, saving the world and, you know, doing the things that you do.
I'm glad to be back. Thanks for holding down the fort while I was gone.
No problem. No problem. Just to let everyone know, SmackDown Matters is part of the WrestleCast Network. All you have to do to listen is subscribe to the WrestleCast-CSPN on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio. Subscribe to the logo that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign. Also, you can find us on the web at CSPN.us. So, Ms. J to the Max, before we get into this past week's episode of SmackDown, I'll let you air out some of your thoughts on the draft, some of the things you liked, some of the things you didn't like, and then we'll get into what happened on this week's edition of SmackDown.
The draft was underwhelming, mostly because it was predictable. Like, we knew all the champs were going to except the tag team championships, or the tag team champs. But, I mean, Stephanie looked great, though. I love seeing Stephanie on TV. But, yeah, it was pretty predictable. But I was, like all of us, saddened by the breakup of the New Day. But I am glad that both tag team divisions are spearheaded by some brothers at the top of both divisions on SmackDown and Raw. So, but I would love more. I want more content with the New Day and Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. I want more Street Profits and New Day content. But yeah.
All right. Anything else that has caught your eye or in the 2 weeks that you were gone, that's something that maybe you wanted to talk about before?
Oh, no. Did I text you something and now I forgot what I was wanted to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I was just making sure there wasn't some more thoughts.
I am curious, though, if they're going to break up Jay and Jimmy. Because they drafted Jay to SmackDown, but they didn't draft Jimmy to SmackDown, and now Naomi is going to be on Raw. So,
well,
I'm wondering if they're going to break up the Usos too.
I think Jimmy is still considered injured. Injured people don't get drafted. Is usually how it works.
Naomi got drafted,
but I don't think she was like. I think she's like a couple of weeks away from getting clear. I'm pretty sure Jimmy's like a couple of months away from getting clear because he had, you know, knee surgery. She's gonna, you know, not saying that her surgery wasn't major or anything, but, you know, her recovery time isn't gonna be as long. So they probably figure, okay, by the time we get everything up and running on Raw again, because it had like a 2 week delay before everybody really got on their shows, that she'll probably be that much closer to being ready.
That makes sense.
All right, so we'll get.
I guess we'll have to wait to see what happens with Jimmy.
Yes, but he had a role in this week's show, so we'll get right into it. Commentary welcomes us to the show, running down what we'll get tonight. Roman Reigns will reveal the consequences for his cousin Jey Uso. We'll get some entry into the Otis versus Miz legal feud as well. That brings us to Kevin Owens, who jokes about the draft meaning very little, but is happy to be bringing us the Kevin Owens show with his first guest, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan heads down to the ring, and the two men sit together. Owens thanks Bryan for being here and mentioning him last week as someone he'd like to wrestle, a sentiment Owens shares. He mentions they've beaten each other up a few times. Bryan is happy to have had that as they pushed each other to be better. Bryan wants SmackDown to highlight the best talent in the world. He puts over the roster they've got now, and he wants the Intercontinental title defended on the show each and every week. Owens dovetails that into the two of them possibly becoming tag team champions. Owens notes that he's never been a tag team champion. Bryan says Owens has betrayed a lot of his friends. Owens goes back to selling the notion of their team. He's even got a team name, Team Hell KO. Bryan notes that Kane was the hell part of his old team. This sales pitch is interrupted by Rude and Bobby Ziggler. Ziggler's on the mic. He feels that Bryan overlooked them last week when he was talking about hot young talent. Bobby Roode mocks their fantasy tag team name, saying that they should be talking about him and Ziggler because they're the best tag team in the world. That brings down the Street Profits. Of course, we get the Red Solo Cups, Pyro. Ford and Dawkins mock Ziggler and Roode. They remember what happened last week, but despite that, they're happy to be on SmackDown because they want the smoke. Then here comes Cesaro and Nakamura. Cesaro is sick of being disrespected after carrying the tag team division for months. Bryan says he and Owen should team up now, and we get a face versus heels brawl, and then here come the officials to try to break things up as we head to commercial break. So, Jade, what do you think is about to happen next?
We are going to get an 8-man tag match.
That's right. Bobby Roode, Dolph Ziggler, Cesaro, and Nakamura versus Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, and the Street Profits. Cesaro rolls up Dawkins, but the ref sees him using the ropes for the leverage. Dawkins then hits the sky high. He tags in Montez Ford, who hits from the heavens. And Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, the Street Profits are your winners.
They should have had more Red Solo Pyro, like coming out of the ring buckles. Yeah, like compat, you know, pop the confetti to Red Solo Cups.
Right. This was a very, very fun match. Action-packed. Cool to see the Street Profits in there with Daniel Bryan.
And Kevin Owens. Don't forget Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Kevin Owens, too.
Yeah, it was a fun match. I enjoyed this one. I always loved when, like, because Montez Ford is just so good in the ring. Angela Dawkins is, too. But, yeah, it was fun. And then to have them team up with, like you said, with Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan. Yeah, it was a fun match. Good way to kick off SmackDown.
Right. We cut to Law and Otis. Ron Simmons is the bailiff. He introduces JBL as a judge. JBL lists the charges, then lets the Miz give his open statements. Miz cuts off his lawyer. Miz lists a few legal cases that he should use as precedent, but just needs the truth as Otis has victimized him and isn't upholding the standards of the money in the bank holder. Otis gets his chance for a statement now. Otis won the contract by winning the relevant match. Miz fires his lawyer after it's pointed out that Otis just made a good argument. We're going to have like a part two. It's like, you know, it's kind of like Law and Order. So, you know, we continue this to motif. So we get Bianca Belair. She's in the back.
Yay!
Getting prepared for her match later on in the evening. In the back, Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan, they celebrate with the Street Profits. Sami Zayn shows up as everyone else leaves. He disagrees with Bryan's vision for his IC title being defended every week. He says he's the champ, so he decides when and if it's defended. He wants Daniel Bryan to keep his vision for the title to himself because until he loses the belt, things will be done his way. Sami Zayn laid down the law.
I see. Looking homeless still, too.
Don't be minding my business.
Look, that brother, yeah. Sammy looking a little scraggly, but I guess that's the point.
Bianca Belair versus Zelina Vega. Belair with a clean and jerk.
Oh, we rekindling this rivalry?
Oh, yes. Well, this is... We want to show off Bianca Belair's strength, right?
Yes. Easy win for her.
So who's the best opponent for her to show that off with on the roster? Zelina Vega?
Any of them women, because she'll beat all of them. Because yes. She is the fastest, the strongest, the roughest, the toughest. The cutest, the prettiest, she's the best.
But Zelina Vega, with the size differential, it just makes it look more impressive. It makes it shows up on TV really well.
Yes, it does.
So Bianca Belair, clean and jerks Zelina Vega, presses her up over her head. drops her onto the top turnbuckle. Then she picks Zelina back up. She hits the KOD, and Bianca Belair has won her first match on SmackDown. So let it be known that she is on her way. We've been waiting.
Big news here.
We've been waiting for the past like 2 months for something to happen. Well, she's over on SmackDown now. She's getting the big push because last week everybody was talking about how excited they were for Bianca Belair to be coming over to SmackDown. So she's going to be getting a very big focus on this
show
coming forward.
She is about to carry SmackDown on her back, girl. Don't hurt your back. But we are here for you. I'm looking forward to it. Love me some Bianca.
She was on Talking Smack afterwards. And, you know, she basically said the same things that you said, that, you know, she's the best and basically almost line for line, actually. And
that's how I know, because I was watching Talking Smack right before we started recording.
And then Booker T was like, well, you know, what advice could you give? She was like, well, what advice? Caleb was like, well, what advice could you give Bianca Belair, Booker T? And Booker T was like, well, you know, I tried to give people advice, but, you know, it don't always end.
You're taking the wrong way.
I was like, yeah, don't listen to nothing Booker T say.
Right, don't listen to nothing Booker T got to say. And I remember Booker T was like, I hop in the DMs and Montez Ford was like, you can just tell me. Like, that's right. Yeah, Booker T. And it's funny because I was thinking about that. I was like, dang, Booker T, like, he had said something about Naomi, Big E, Sasha. I'm like, why he always only got quote unquote this terrible advice for or you know, quote unquote advice, but this terrible advice for the black athletes. Like, come on, man. Like, was he him to say Big E wasn't serious enough? Was that Booker T?
Yeah, Mark that was Henry? Booker T. Booker. Yeah, she should definitely listen to Mark Henry. Listen to anything he's got to say. Don't listen to anything Booker T's got to say.
Booker T, yes. Don't listen to Booker T. Listen to Mark Henry.
We get a video package for Lars Sullivan.
You could have skipped that part.
Shorty G is in the ring for his match with Lars. He says he's fed up with the state of things. He went undrafted, and tonight he's going to turn things around against Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan versus Shorty G. Chad Gable fights back with
Thank you.
and hits a rolling thunder kick. Lars avoids the second one and tosses Chad Gable across the ring. Clothesline from Lars, and the freak accident gives Lars the win. Kayla asks Shorty, a.k.a. Chad Gable, how he feels after the match, and he says he quits.
Oh, Lord. No, Shorty G quit. Chad Gable didn't quit.
In the back, we have a Seth Rollins interview. He talks about plucking Murphy from obscurity and guiding him, and promises to have fun breaking Murphy down later tonight. He calls Murphy confused, but the greater good is all for us, and he needs to remind Murphy of his place in it. He's a savior. Murphy is a disciple who walks behind. Tonight, he's going to define Murphy's role for him. Then we cut to Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman in the luxury suite. Roman isn't pleased with the catering service. Or maybe he's just...
That bread did look kind of like dry. They ain't get him no olive oil or nothing to dip it in. Like, yeah.
Or maybe he's just pensive about the announcement he's got to make later. Either way, this leads us to a commercial break. So in the back, Adam Pearce shows up to talk to Shorty G in the trainer's room. Shorty says he quits being Shorty G. He's done being a character who pretends everything is fine. He's not some smiling face on top of public service announcements. There's only one man that can achieve anything he wants, an Olympian with a long wrestling pedigree, and his name is Gable. Chad Gable.
He told you. Shorty G quit.
Power of positivity. See, we kept calling him by his mama government name, and we got it back.
Yeah. See, no more Shorty G, please.
Yeah, just had to stay the course.
Right.
Bailey is in the ring sitting on her chair. Mike issues cut off the start of her promo, but she says that she's been asked about Sasha Banks over and over again after not signing the contract for their Hell in a Cell bout. She claims that Sasha doesn't deserve a shot at the title. She wants to be done with Sasha's, but she can't get it done yet. Next, she mocks Sasha's claim that her name was bigger than the title. She mocks the size of Sasha's head and how big it's gotten, and she won't sign the contract because Sasha isn't the boss of her. Sasha Banks shows up with the contract, demanding that Bayley sign the contract. They talk back and forth, then Banks avoids the chair shot and she gets the SmackDown Women's title. Banks tells Bayley that she'll give her the belt if she signs the contract. They get into a tug of war, then Sasha lands a knee strike, and then she gets prepared to pilmanize the neck of Bayley unless she signs the contract. But Bayley fights back, but she can't get out of the chair. Then Sasha Banks uses a modified camel clutch and demands Bayley sign the contract. Bayley does so. Banks poses with the belt, then drops it and leaves. So it's official. Hell in a Cell. Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
She said she was going to get it assigned in one way or another. She did. But we need to pause for this hashtag fashion cast moment because Sasha Banks' pants were really cute and Bayley's boots were really cute. So now I need to find me some leather sweatpants.
That doesn't even sound like the biggest oxymoron ever.
Well, they're not sweatpants, but like the design was kind of like sweatpantsy, but it was leather. So now I need to find me some leather pants to stop at my knees.
They were both in leather.
Yes, they looked amazing. I like Bayley's pants as well. So, you know, don't mind me if y'all see me walking around dressed like a wrestler. But
well, Halloween is coming.
I mean, but I'm talking about even after Halloween.
Back to the courthouse, The Miz is questioning John Morrison. Morrison says that Otis has assaulted himself and The Miz and others as well. He says the scars in his heart hurt the most. Rey Mysterio is on the stand. He says eight men walked in and only Otis walked out with the briefcase. He feels Otis won straight up. Next, Asuka is on the stand. She's speaking in Japanese, and that leads to JBL being like, "Did you get any of that?" Teddy Long pops out and he says, "He sure did. Holla holla.
Player."
So Tucker's on the stand now. He runs down to Miz saying that Miz deserves everything Otis has given him. Miz tries to intimidate him. Tucker scares the Miz and Simmons tells everyone to shut up. After a short recess, JBL promises to give his verdict. So we come back from commercial break. Tucker has joined Otis at the legal table. JBL says something is missing in the legal uproar, specifically the truth. He says all the complaints levied against Otis are just a job description for WWE superstars. He doesn't find the time Otis is taking to cash in being negligent. After minimal deliberation, JBL tries to rule in favor of Otis, but Miz asks for a continuance. Miz really thinks JBL should admit his next piece of evidence, a briefcase full of something. JBL opens the briefcase, and in light of the new evidence, he rules in favor of The Miz. Otis must defend his contract at Hell in a Cell against The Miz, and Ron Simmons ends the proceedings with
a damn.
Damn.
Told you. And I ain't even watched that segment, and I knew that was the ending. How much they be paying Ron Simmons just to come on TV now and just say damn? Like, that's got to be like a sweet job. Just when you feel like it, just, hey, can you come on TV for 5 minutes and just say damn? They hiring.
This was actually really good.
I want to know what the evidence was. Did they say?
By the way that JBL was looking in that briefcase, big faces with rubber bands around them, or, you know.
Ah.
Presumably.
Okay. Oh, evidence, a.k.a. bribes.
There you go.
Got it.
Michael Cole wishes JBL was that easy to deal with back in the day. Commentary then sends us to a vignette for Murphy and Rollins. After that, Rollins makes his way to the ring. He says the match will take place after the break. So Seth Rollins versus Buddy Murphy.
Murphy fighting back with an elbow to Rollins, and Murphy holding his own in this contest.
Make no mistake about it, Murphy is a wildly talented competitor. We've seen that in his tenure here in WWE. That said, Murphy's not Rollins' level yet.
And there's an example. And looking on again to this matchup is Aaliyah, who was mentioned before, has developed a friendship.
Mia, why are you watching this?
Dad, I'm just watching Murphy.
Let's go.
No.
Let's go.
No, I can do what I want.
Okay, it's nice to see Rey Mysterio trying to right the wrongs of his family, trying to keep everything in line, realizing Murphy's a shady character you don't want mixed up with.
Covered out by Rollins, hook of the leg, and a kick out. Murphy's second rope missile drop kick Rollins down, and now Murphy looks to rally.
Murphy's body very clearly racked with pain at the moment. Bought himself a few valuable seconds, and Rollins also recovering.
A guy like Murphy, they have finally seen the light. Realized that Seth was some sort of false prophet as Murphy now explodes out of the corner.
Now who are you to say that Murphy's seen the light? Seth tried to show Murphy the light. Murphy stepped
now
out of the light.
Fired up as he sends Rollins through the second rope. And Murphy flooring Rollins again. Great resilience being shown by Murphy here tonight, who I believe...
Is it resilience or is it mercy being shown by Seth Rollins?
Well, Murphy has a lot to prove.
Get it back in the ring.
Murphy really...
Murphy needs to get his priorities straight.
And now the injured left arm of Murphy attacked by Rollins.
If it wasn't injured before, it certainly is now.
And a look of concern on the face of Aaliyah Mysterio. Murphy is in deep trouble. And now Rollins went for the stop. Murphy caught him. Rolls him up. Roll through by Rollins. Stop again. Missed. Murphy able to counter. And a back elbow by Rollins. And now Seth going to head up to the second rope. Murphy with a kick to the side of the face. And Murphy looking to pull off a stunning upset here tonight. Rollins, though, face first goes Murphy, and now Rollins hits the stop. The cover by the Savior in the win.
Here is your winner, Seth Rollins.
After the match, Seth Rollins gets a kendo stick. Aaliyah Mysterio asks Rey and Dominic to help Murphy, but they won't. Aaliyah heads down to help him. Rollins trash talks Murphy to kill time for Aaliyah to show up. Rollins asks her what she's going to do and lays into Murphy. Aaliyah tries to shield him. That brings out Dominic and Rey. Dominic asks her what she's doing and Rollins jumps Dominic from behind. That brings out Rey with the chair and Rollins heads to the back. Rey checks on his kids and again asks Aaliyah what she's doing out here. Aaliyah helps.
I want to know too. I want to know what the writers are doing because we are tired of this storyline.
Murphy gives a somewhat sinister look to the Mysterio men behind her back as we head to the back.
Remember when, like, everybody was excited when Seth got drafted to SmackDown? We were like, Mysterio's Rollins storyline, and then, like, two picks later, they come to Mysterio's. We were like, oh, come on, man. Yeah, God. Okay. Sorry, just had to get that off my chest.
A production assistant tells Paul Heyman that it's time for Roman Reigns. Heyman reminds him that Reigns operates on his own timetable, but he'll let it be known that this peon stopped by. So back from the break, we get a recap of the main event from last week and the post-match angle between Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. Back in the ring, Roman Reigns and Heyman, they make their way down. Heyman hands the mic to Roman. In the back, Jey shows up on the screen where he's in Reigns' big suite. He mocks Roman Reigns a bit and says Reigns has changed. He's got his head so far up his own ass, he's lost connections with everyone around him. He says that, you know, it used to be cool. It must be cool to be the tribal chief, even cooler to be his cousins. But he says, you know, it used to be, but don't ask me, ask my brother. And he pulls down the face mask and we reveal that it's Jimmy Uso, not Jey. So Jey jumps Roman from behind, avoids the spear attempt, and then gets a chair. Jey gets the chair kicked into his face, but then Jey responds with the super kick, and he hits the top rope Uso splash on Roman. Both Usos celebrate on the ramp. Roman gets back up, and Heyman hands him the mic again. Roman tells them that they can think this is funny because they don't understand. But he understands. If they make him quit, he won't be the champion anymore. He won't be anything. But when he makes Jey quit, which he will, Jey will fall in line and take orders and acknowledge him for who he is and all he does for their family. And if he can't, then he's out. Jimmy and Jay and their family, and all the prosperity will be out of the family. Those will be the consequences for Jay when he loses. Roman,
how you gonna tell somebody? How you gonna kick somebody out of family they was born into?
Reigns poses with the bell as the cell descends around him. Jay climbs the cell to pose, staring down at Reigns, and this is how we end Friday Night SmackDown.
I'm loving this storyline, though. Whoever came up with this one, kudos to you.
Paul Heyman.
This is, of course, it's been so good, though. Like, the storytelling, and they're giving Jay a chance to shine, because usually when one Uso is hurt, we don't see either of, you know, the other one is off TV, too. So this is great that they're giving him an opportunity to have a solo run or a singles run. And I will say, I know it's not the Raw cast, but the Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton storyline's been pretty good too. So
it's losing a little steam for me, but hopefully this will be the last end all be all.
I think right this here. Is the end. It'll probably be the end. But yeah, but they got some decent storylines out of both.
Some news that came out of Talking Smack. Daniel Bryan admitted that this is his last run. He's you know,
retiring for real.
Yeah, he's basically, you know, saying that this is his last, so, you know, probably hopefully a 3 or 4 year window. But basically, you know, we're seeing the beginning of the end of his career. He's going to hand it over to the young guys, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins of the world. And, he'll probably transition to be backstage. That's what he was doing before he, you know, came back recently. He was helping with some of the stuff backstage because, you know, real wrestlers like SmackDown, because you can go over there short and you can get, you know, some good matches and some good competition over there.
It's the land of opportunity.
Right. So, you know, Daniel Bryan sticks with SmackDown with the way they got Paul Heyman over there working with those writers that they have. They're doing some good stuff on SmackDown.
They are. And you know what? They do a lot with a little. And by that, I mean, they only got 2 hours, whereas Raw has 3 hours. And by the end of hour one, I'm like, dang, it's 2 more hours it is.
Yeah, Monday Night Raw has its nights where it is like, man, I've been sitting here and it's only 9:15. Good.
Like, dang, there's more?
Yeah, and then, like on Friday night, SmackDown, you looked up and it was like, man, it's 9:15 already?
Right. It's like, how much more can they pack? And then even it's the same with NXT. I'm like, dang, it's over already? So, yeah, I don't know. Whoever running the show on Raw needs to take pointers from SmackDown and NXT.
So, as you listen to this, we're broadcasting a little bit before Hell in a Cell here. So please join us. Use the hashtag #CastInACell for the live tweet of Hell in a Cell. Looking forward to the Roman versus Jey Uso match. Looking forward to the Bayley versus Sasha match. SmackDown definitely going to be carrying this card when it comes to interest for the Hell in a Cell matches and just overall, I think. So should be fun. Yeah. Hopefully Sasha Banks does not hurt herself.
Please don't get hurt. We need to collectively pray as a WrestleCast family that Sasha Banks doesn't hurt herself, that when she does win, because yes, I'm saying she's going to win, that they let her have some time with the title. Don't just give her like a 2 week run and then she drops the title to somebody else.
Yeah, let her have a defense or two or three or four.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we let her make it to the Royal Rumble, please? Let the sister make it to January.
I am with you on that. So at this time, Miss J to the Max, I'll turn it over.
Wait, we didn't do who you got.
Oh, my bad. Let's see. I got to put you in. Hold on. I got
to
put you in.
Yeah. Try to be excluding me from who you got.
My bad. Hold on. Let me pull up my document. Oh, here we go. I only got I only did 4 matches with Sam and Maurice this week because we only have 4 listed. So Jeff Hardy versus Elias. Who you got?
Jeff.
All right. Damn.
They should have like as a precursor to their match, just have like a guitar battle.
play Guitar Hero in versus mode.
Right.
Sasha Banks versus Bayley. Who you got?
The Boss.
All right. Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton. Who you got?
That's a tough one. Drew been a champion since March. I'm going to go with Randy Orton.
All right. And Roman versus Jey Uso.
As much as I love Jey and I would love to see him win, I already know he's not. So, Roman.
All right. They added Miz and Otis. So, if you just want to, you know, just this won't count because we didn't do this one, but just give us your thoughts on that one.
And this is for the Money in the Bank contract?
Yes, ma'am.
The Miz.
Okay. All right. So there you go. I got you added to the four matches that we did choose. So there'll be some sort of winner. It's probably going to end up being some sort of tie.
Okay. What's the winning? What's the winning prize? Bragging rights.
Always.
Got it. I better win because I didn't win last time.
Yeah. You have to redeem yourself from the last showing at Class of Champions.
I do, because I was, like, doing good at first, and then it was just all downhill after that second match. And I didn't like it.
Well, it hasn't been all downhill for your Chicago Bears. You only lost one game the first week that you didn't talk to me.
Yes.
But you rebounded last week, so you're starting a
new winning streak. Oh, that's the secret. So I have to talk. I have to talk to Don before the Bears play.
Yeah, you're starting a new winning streak, so good luck to you on Monday night.
Thank you. And to the rest of the NFC North division, if you can't see me, but I'm turning my nose up at you because you all are peasants and the Bears are at the top of the division. So Green Bay, you suck. Detroit, you suck too. And Minnesota, you suck three.
All right. You've heard it here. Anybody who is a fan of the NFC North, the thoughts and comments expressed are strictly for to the max. They do not reflect the rest of CSPN. All right, Ms. J to the Max, time for your shout outs and thank yous.
All right, just wanted to shout out our WrestleCast family. Looking forward to live tweeting with you all tonight for Hell in a Cell. Hashtag Cast in a Cell.
Yes, ma'am.
Cast
in a Cell.
Thank you. And to my co-host and our captain of this ship, Don. Thanks for having me. Tis all.
All right. Well, thank you, Miss J to the Max. Thank you for safe returns and being able to record this new episode of SmackDown Matters with me. Fun as always. Thank you to all the patrons over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron over there. Just sign up to our $3 or $5 tier, and then we'll in return give you extra content from the CSPN Media, including the Dark Match, where you can hear me and Miss Simi talk about AEW Dynamite. Also get some sports thoughts from various co-hosts and hosts here on the CSPN on the WrestleCast Network. So me and Anwar Starwin and Terry's Boy talk a bunch of NFL talk after last Sunday's games. Mo to the _ Reese as well share some thoughts about his Baltimore Ravens. So check out Know the Score OT over on the Patreon page as well. Always support the sponsors over on CSPN.us. Click on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Do some shopping with Amazon, and some of your purchase will come back to help keep the WrestleCast and SmackDown Matters free each and every week. Shout out to Sam and Mo to the _ Reese and Anwar Starwin and Terry's Boy and Miss Cammy D and Don Victor and Kylan Oreno and everybody who shows up in all those live tweets. We definitely appreciate y'all sharing y'all's commentary with color. Looking forward to the live tweet of Hell in a Cell. So for my co-host, Miss J to the Max, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been SmackDown Matters. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Yo, Tribal Chief, over here. Yeah, you see it. I'm up in the Tribal Chief VIP suit. And what do we got here? We got some tribal cheese, we got some tribal raspberries, and some H2O. I bet it is great to be the Tribal Chief. I bet it's better to be cousins with the Tribal Chief.
At least it was. You changed, Luce. You got your head so far up your tribal chief ass, you don't lost connection with yourself and with our family. But who am I to ask, right? Don't ask me. Ask my brother Jay.
It's funny to you boys. Because you don't understand. I understand. If you make me quit, I'm not the Universal Champion. I'm not the face of the WWE. I'm not the head of the table. I'm not the tribal chief. I'm not the provider of generations and generations of our bloodline. If you can make me quit, I can live with that. But the question is, can you?
Yes.
When I make you quit, and I will make you quit, you will fall in line. You will take orders. You will acknowledge me. You will respect me for who I am in the WWE and all that I do for our family. If you just can't, then you're out.
I'm out.
Not just you, you brought your brother with you, he's out too. Your wives, your children's children are all out of the family.
Who are you? Who are you?